What's up, everyone? This is Pastor Sam.
And this is Danny.
And together, we're exploring
gospel. It's the gospel. And we're back!
That's right. It's been a little bit too long since we recorded our last podcast, but I'm glad we're back.
We're back with another book, right?
Yeah, I think as we continue to explore, you know, as God's Word together, I think it was time for us to focus on Jesus, right? We have been talking about this in the last few months here.
It's been the theme all year. It's like you said, like, you know, we want you to fall in love with Jesus.
Yeah, you know, so many of us knows about the things that Jesus did, and we get enamored with that. I think we need to fall in love with the person of Jesus, not with the things that Jesus did. And so so that's kind of somewhat the focus that we have had, at least in the first semester here at DCC. Just trying to show the character of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the compassion, the love, the kindness, the gentleness, the friendship of Jesus. So we'll focus on all stuff like that and about Jesus himself. And I think nothing like the Gospel of John to guide us through that.
Yeah, no, and I think one of the things, you know, as we kind of set the stage, right, for obviously what this next series will be for us as a church, obviously we kicked off the series last week, talking about, you know, what did you preach on again?
The last week?
Yeah.
Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Why are you laughing about?
He's the house of bread. You got McDonald's, man. You got me thinking about McDonald's.
I know. Nobody can see this, but he's wearing yellow today. So it's a McDonald's yellow,
McDonald's
right?
McDonald's yellow.
I brought back McDonald's. And I talk about how Jesus is the bread of life. You know, I think in that specific message, those people were after Jesus because of stuff. Stuff that Jesus could provide. And Jesus called them on and said, no, it should be about me, not about the stuff you get. And so, try not to be so caught up, on stuff and really get to know Jesus.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why I kind of was going to kind of go there is to kind of just give, like, you know, I know we kicked off the series, we got the Bible study going as well, and then we also have the podcast. You know, as we continue to go through this, I think we want to do an intro. We want to give like an introduction to the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we know that it's definitely one of the Gospels. So let's just lay the facts out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's four Gospels written, right? Yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Matthew, he writes with the Jews in mind in order to show that Jesus is Messiah. He's more like very like give you the lineage all the way back, you know. and Mark and Luke, they have the Gentiles in mind and how they write. Mark, we did a whole book podcast on Mark. You should go listen to that one. We already attacked Mark pretty good. And John is writing kind of like, he's writing and meet in the middle. He's like writing for both, right?
Yeah. So like on that, so there's the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then there is John.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that, if you're wondering, because like when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you feel like you're reading some of the similar things because you have similar stuff.
Yeah.
When you read John, it's like a whole new take. Like, but
yes,
then that's why you say they're synoptic in the sense.
So they're synoptic because they're somewhat equal in content. And then John comes with, he still uses the same, let's say the base of his book is the content found in the rest of it. But he, which I can give some unique facts later on here about it. But he gives some, he elaborates a little bit more, right? Like, for example, like the seven statement iams that we're preaching throughout the Gospel of John, right? Jesus makes these profound statements about who he is, that highlights his identity and his divine nature, right? So for John, so that's something that none of the other guys do about Jesus, right? Another unique thing about John is the miracles. While there are some miracles that overlaps in the Synoptic Gospels, like John includes several other miracles that are signs that Jesus performed that just are not the other ones, like the first Bible study, turning the water into wine,
yeah,
right? raising Lazarus from that.
John's a rich book in the sense, like, sure. You know, one of the things, obviously, we just had Easter, and one of the things I love to read, try to read the book of John throughout Easter season, mm-hmm. because, you know, he has such, he uses such imaginative words, how he writes, and you can kind of, like, he brings you into it. He paints a vivid picture of what's happening, and that's exciting to read. And one of the things, too, as well, that we say that John is writing is that, you know, as we look at the I am statements and we look at the miracles, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that comes to mind is that we know John's writing both to Jews and Gentiles because both audience, they see Messiah in different views, right?
Sure, yes, yeah.
So the Gentiles, they're more like, well, you are what you say, you know, in a sense. Like, mm-hmm. So that's why we have like the I am statements. I am the bread of life. Yeah. I am the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. I am the gate. I am all these different things. And then, but the Jews, though, they're like, hey, it's not about what you can say. It's what can you do?
Sure. Okay.
And and what have you done for me lately, in a sense, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So now we have the miracle. So we kind of see how he's writing is kind of very, like, crafted. Sure. He's very intentional how he's writing. And that's what I like about the book. And that's why I'm excited while we're going through this. So as we go through what Jesus says in the sermon series and what Jesus does in the Bible study.
Pre-podcast, you're talking about this whole idea about Peter and Paul being gone. And
yes, exactly.
Talk about that. I think that was cool.
Like why the book of John? Why is it like that? Because, you know, he's writing.
Because why is it so intentional?
It's very intentional, yes. Yeah. Because you have Paul, he's writing to all the Gentiles, right? He's mm-hmm. the apostle of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And you have Peter, obviously, you know, he's part of the core. He's working with all the Jews and stuff. And then you have John, he's trying to cement this idea because he's writing this around a period of time. Now, there's a debate if it is actually written after the destruction of Jerusalem or not, right?
Okay, which is destroyed,
which we can come back to that one. But he's writing and to show that Christianity, Jesus is the Son of God, and that salvation is found in him. So he's reiterating all these principles that both guys taught.
Okay.
So that's why he kind of takes over, in a sense, for Paul, mm-hmm. and that he kind of becomes like the elder of the church then. He's like, he's reaffirming all these things. So, and then there's this interesting thing about the book of how it kind of begins and how it ends. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like both these giants of the faith are gone. They're past and gone.
I gotta do something about it.
I gotta do something. I gotta bring the two together. So his gospel kind of serves as that.
Huh. In a sense. That's cool. I like that. Which makes sense because he reemphasized so much the importance of believing in Jesus for salvation. Like he really focuses on that. John often uses the phrase to believe in and to believe into to describe the kind of faith that is required for people to have eternal life. So, I mean, he focused on that and believing in Jesus and here's another thing about John that I think is really much on what you're saying is about his intentionality. Mm-hmm. It's the book with the most red letters.
Yeah.
Right? Like the discourse, the farewell discourse from chapter 14 to 17 is like, it's all about Jesus' words, and he's preparing the disciples for what is to come. But if you want to fall in love with Jesus and you want to hear his heart, you know, his words are important. I mean, John has a ton of red letters, which means in the Bible, some Bibles have red letters for Jesus. So that's what we're talking about here. The words of Jesus are highlighted in red. So has a ton of red letters. But do you know that the book of The book of John has no parables?
Oh, you got me on that one.
Yeah, there's unlike the Synoptic Gospel, John does not include any parables of Jesus.
Yeah.
He focuses on
because he's like, when you guys are reading all these other three, you don't know which book you're in. Am I in Mark? Am I in Luke? Am I in... No.
So he focuses on dialogue, on discourse, or teaching, or symbolical narratives. That concerns the teachings of Jesus or that has to do with the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah, one of the things that I came across in one of my readings was that the book of John is kind of like, there's three main themes that's mm-hmm. in the book. And imagine braiding someone's hair, right?
Okay.
If you break
I know everything about that, right?
Yeah. So the three themes are this: Jesus being presented as a true man as well as the divine Son of God. Okay. Right? He's being presented as Son of Man, Son of God, right? 100% man, 100% God. The second and the third strand, they go together. So the rise and development of belief, right?
Okay.
Of who he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the counter to that, the rise and development of what's the opposite of belief? Disbelief.
Doubt, yeah. Okay.
So you have these three things coming together. And while they're not presented in a sequential order, so in the book, you can kind of, they come together for one. When you put them all together, it's this one braid. Remember that analogy? So you have Jesus as the Son of Man,
okay.
Son of God, and you either, there's disbelief in who he is. Are you really who you say you are? And then there's belief. So there's this faction of people who believe in it. And that's what John is kind of writing. And he's demonstrating Jesus's humanity and divinity by showing that as a man, he did human things. He ate, mm-hmm. he wept. Lazarus wept.
Mm-hmm.
But also showing him as the divine, all the miracles, which we kind of talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two strands, he interweaves the two strands of belief and disbelief by describing how the people reacted. How people reacted with faith, or how they reacted by either rejecting what they actually saw. So John's gospel actually describes the object of faith, who is Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and why he should be considered, such as the miracles and the resurrection. And he also provides development of belief and disbelief to the people who react to him. And that's like boiling it down to three statements. It's a lot more than that.
But like what are you saying? It is so funny that we didn't talk about this, but I thought that prehand. But I think it's so cool because one of the things that I was fascinated from the start of the book is that in the first chapter, he gives like five names to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, the Word, he's the Logos, right? He refers to Jesus as the Word that was with God. He calls him the Light, the True Light, the Only Begotten, the Lamb of God. I think maybe the Lamb of God is, yeah, the Lamb of God. He has all these names for Jesus. I even put it here, one chapter, many names for Jesus, right? So it really shows his intentionality in showing people how mm-hmm. Jesus is divine and human at the same time by all this, by the different names that he uses for him. So when he says that John is looking at Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God," that's another name,
mm-hmm.
right? He's talking about his divinity there, you know, what he was as the one who is going to pay for all of our sins. So this is the Gospel of John is active in showing us the works of Jesus and the victory of Jesus in our lives. So it is pretty cool. I really like that. And it's not a different, you know, it is not just a historical account of the life of Jesus. No. As we've been talking here, there's some, which you're talking, is there's some very deep theological meaning and spiritual clarifying for us, enlightening us, illuminating our mind in this narrative, and invites us into a profound encounter with the person of Jesus, which is what you're saying. You have to encounter not only the humanity of Jesus, but you have to encounter the divinity of Jesus. So so John differs from Mark, Luke, which primarily focus on the events of Jesus' mm-hmm. early ministry. That's what Mark, Luke, John, Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke does. And John takes on a transcendent exploration of Jesus' divine identity and significance of his mission. And I think the theological depth and the spiritual depth of John, it is not had in the other three Gospels.
Yeah, I think one of the things kind of when you said that, it made me think of the prologue, like that first 18 verses to begin with all about introducing Jesus as the Son of God, and he traces that existence, like you say, all the way to even pre-creation era,
yes. right? Yeah.
To his incarnation as a human being. So he brings the two together, and you know, he says this is not the first time he's around. He's been around. He's been with, and that's his whole thing. His whole book is all about Jesus. Like everything about
it. Yes, and he's not trying to. I taught this the other day on Wednesday night Bible study, and there is Bible. There's Bible, and then there is theology, right? So what I mean by theology is people read sometimes the Bible and then goes on interpreting it and making doctrines, making teachings. And then there is what the Bible is saying, right? So, and I think what I love about John is the fact that he really just like, he's just interested for you to see who Jesus was.
Yeah.
He's not interested in embellisher. He wants you to believe in Jesus. So he's giving you a pretty good account on who the guy is so that you would be come and fall in love with him. So the prologue, it begins with this declaring Jesus as divine. And let me read it the first few five verses. Can I do that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So what he does here is so smart. He brings everybody back to creation, right? Like,
this is a familiar story. Everybody would have been familiar with that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, if you can't believe Genesis chapter 1, if you can't hold on to the truth, don't do theology. Don't try to mathematize and try to make sense of Genesis. No. If you can't take Genesis chapter 1 for what it is, Genesis chapter 1, then right here you already lost, because if you don't believe that, you know, what Genesis chapter 1 tells us, that the Trinity was there, then this verses 1 of John loses its sight, right? If you don't believe Jesus' part, you know, it was through him things were created, then, which what Paul says and John says, then, you know, from here, John's like, if you can't believe Genesis chapter 1, you're gonna have a hard time
trying
to reconcile some things right here.
For sure. I think, and as you mentioned, the Synoptic Gospel is kind of what they're doing, right? Some more factual things, like in the Synoptic Gospels are more historical.
Sure.
Right, when I think of the perspective.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of the Gospel of John, it's more spiritual in a sense, and it's talking about the spiritual things. You know, we just talked about the beginning of how you read the five verses. Right, all the Synoptic Gospels that begin with a human genealogy and the fulfillment of prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think of Matthew as that comes to mind. But John, as you said, he begins with more divine revelation.
The book, if you open a commentary out there, you find that it is broken down different. So there is the prologue, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And then there is the ministries and the miracles of Jesus, chapter 1, verses 19 through chapter 12, verse 50. Right, you see all the Jesus, the profound teachings and the dialogues of Jesus that reveals his identity throughout this whole series. So, just demonstrating his authority and divinity and power, basically.
Yeah.
And then there's the farewell discourse. So this is a series of intimate conversation that he has with his disciples. Jesus prepared them from the imminent departure that he's about to have. And it is here that you find passages like the Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and a demonstration of humble service, and here's where he instituted the Lord's Supper and promises of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He in these discourses, in this farewell discourse, chapter 13 to 17, he assures his disciples of his love and teach them the principle of discipleship and prayer and unity. So that's verses 13 to 17. And then verses 18 through 21, you have what it is, the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And the narrative progresses like to Jesus' betrayal by Judas, his arrest, his trials before the Roman authority, Despite facing unjust accusation and condemnation, Jesus remains steadfast to his mission. I love that about John, that he's portraying Jesus to be like, you know what? He came to do the work of the Father, and he didn't waver at one time. He's crucified, he dies on the cross, and is buried on the tomb. But then he goes on to talk about the triumphant rising from the dead, the resurrection, and then the commission of the disciples to continue to his work. And then he has what it is called the epilogue, which you were talking earlier here about how the beginning and the end is very unique to John. And the epilogue concludes, so that's the epilogue, which concludes recounting Jesus' appearance to his disciples, which is important. By the Sea of Galilee, he restores Peter's and affirms his commission, which is goes back to what you were saying earlier. Yeah. Peter is important.
He's a key figure.
Key figure. So he's gone now. So he's trying to get it back, all the influence. Keep it.
Mm-hmm. Keep it going, right? It's like, you know, because what happens when like that main person goes, there's this type of like people kind of flee, but he's trying. No, it's the same. You know, he just served the purpose. Now we have to carry this gospel on. We can't let it die. We can't let it waver. So
he ends with the significance of Jesus' life and teaches, emphasizes the importance of believing in him for salvation.
No, it's a rich book. I mean, we can talk for hours on this, but just a few things I think is interesting about the book, right? Mm-hmm. As we've kind of, this intro, as we never sit and plan how we're going to do this, right?
Sure, yeah.
And this has kind of taken its course as we've started recording here. And one of the things that I think is interesting is Matthew, Christ is portrayed as the prophesied king.
Okay.
In Mark, he's portrayed as the obedient servant. In Luke, he's portrayed as the perfect man. In John, he's portrayed as the Son of God. Right? So each of them have all these things that they're writing. Some of the key words that you find in Matthew is fulfilled. The key word in Mark is immediately, right? Sure. Every time is immediately. Yeah, the key word in Luke is Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the key word in John is belief, which you've highlighted as, you know, that's one of the key verses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of parables and miracles, so in miracles, John is the least of recorded miracles. He has 8 recorded miracles. You know, Matthew and Luke has the most. They have 20 each, right? In fact, some of the tone that you see with the books, the 4 books, Matthew being more prophetic, Mark being practical, Luke being historical, because Luke is writing historical, you know, to Theophilus to kind of show him like, hey, and then you have the spiritual side, which is what John is doing. John is focusing on that spiritual. So it's very, very important. And one of the cool things I really like about the book is that, you know, John is 92% unique. There's 92% of his book that he writes is unique, whereas Matthew has the third most with 42%. Mark is 7%, but they all kind of borrow from Mark, which is weird.
Well, I was about to say, well, that's not really fair.
they all borrow from him. but the one thing I was going to say earlier that I thought is interesting, John is the only one that records all 3 Passover meals. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Say that again?
The book of John is the only book that has all 3 Passover meals recorded.
Huh.
And all the other synoptic gospels, only one.
Only one, which is the last one. Yeah.
So John has all 3 record. He records all 3 in there. So it's a very important book when you think about it. Not that it's better than the other. It's just each book serves a purpose what we're to do. So
the reason why I ask you to repeat that, because when you talk about, we were talking about how Mark is 7% unique because he was the first one. Which that's why the scholar says, and then everybody else borrowed from him, but then. John is so unique that I was thinking, what's the relationship between John and Mark? Because, you know, John was, you know, was one of the disciples. Mark is a young boy who, you know,
we all know about Mark.
People say, mom, you know, mom had a church at her house, and he grew up listening to that, and that was a big dispute between Paul and
Barnabas
about taking him or not taking him, and so I was just because he said that it parks.
He was a little wishy-washy at first.
Yeah, so I want maybe he didn't use it anything because it's like that kid. I'm not using his stuff. I'm joking. That's not true. But it just sparked that thought in my mind. That's why.
But no, I think it's very interesting. The book is a very rich book. It's an important book. I'm so excited that we're going to dive into it. Now, obviously, so the book has a big book.
It's a huge book. We cannot cover everything.
So our goal and our plan for the podcast here and out is to find some passages that maybe not as, you know, the smooth, easy passages that we have, the controversial ones, I would say. And we're gonna talk about those passages. So the next, as we kind of continue to build on this podcast, obviously sermons are going to be covering the I Am statements. So you're going to get good theology, good background there. Yeah. You're going to get a good coverage of the Bible studies if you do them with the miracles. Yeah. And then we're going to pick seven verses, and we're going to talk about seven passages. Seven,
I mean, we can give them prop them for next week.
Yeah, go for it.
I think the chapter 2, Jesus cleansing the temple, kicking people out. I think the rage.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have trouble figuring it out. Rage and anger in Christianity.
What's righteous anger? What's anger and sin, right?
Yeah. So
we can talk about
maybe
that.
Maybe we're going somewhere in there. So I think that's a controversial one, right? But let's stop there.
We can't give all the goodies out. We gotta keep them coming back. After every episode, we'll give a sneak peek at the next one.
That's right.
We'll do that.
Write it down so we don't forget.
But yeah, well, I'm excited for the book. Hopefully, you know, you guys are too as well. As we come into this season, our hope and our goal is that, you know, everything that we do is to bring glory to God's name, but it's also help everyone else just move the dial a little bit closer into learning about who God is, what he's done for them, and how living life without him is kind of, especially in the culture we live in today.
And my prayer is that every single one of you and us who are exploring the Gospel of John would open up our hearts, dive into the Gospel of John, and fall in love, more in love with Jesus. That's my, as we study the profound significance of Jesus, in this gospel, may the truth that is unveiled to us transform us, and that's my prayer. That's my prayer for us.
Yeah. Well, with that, didn't have anything else really we wanted to do. We want to do a quick intro just to kind of give an overview of where we're going, where we've been, how we got to this point, and we'll hopefully you just join us every week as we continue to discuss the book.
We'll be blessed.
Be blessed. Have a great one.